Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Unicorns Do Exist. I am your host, Vanessa, and today we have a special co-host,
Gabby.
And
I have a podcast too, No Pues Wow, and I'm so excited to be here today.
Yay! Thank you for coming. Thank you for inviting me.
No, it wasn't. I just took the tent straight here.
Oh, okay, good. You gotta spend more time in the desert.
I do. I really do. I'm done with the city, dude. I love small communities.
Yeah. Coachella Valley is it. I love it. I love all of it. I always come back.
Yeah.
I lived in San Diego. I came back. I lived in...
Oh, you lived in SC.
Mm-hmm. I lived in LA. I came back. I lived in Riverside. I came back. You always come back to the desert.
You feel like back home.
Mm-hmm. El calor aquí is beautiful. And then Coachella, then we have the resorts. Then we have
There's so much. I used to come here when I was younger because my family lives here. Like, I have some family that lives here. Pero ya crecimos and we nos apartamos, yeah. So I don't really, as in my adult life, no conozco mucho. But now that my cousin moved here, I'm like, hey!
And you have me now.
Yay!
And Coachella's coming up.
Oh, are you going?
Yes.
Oh, I'm jelly. That's how I like Justin Bieber.
I'm more of a Carol G kind of.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber, I seen him a long time ago, but it was like,
Yeah. No, I was dead ass. When I was younger, I was like, marry him.
You had Bieber fever? It was in your generation, that's why.
Yeah.
My Justin Bieber was like, pobre niño chiquito tan
chamaco ahí.
No, I shouldn't be. Wait, hold on. I can't be talking about ages anymore.
So what?
I'll tell you that story. When they act mature, you know?
Oh, yes.
Because it's different. Yeah. It's not the age, nothing but a number nowadays. Because I act like I'm, 25 sometimes.
Yeah, but that's inside your soul.
Yeah. I have a young heart.
Yeah, as it should be.
I have a young heart, pero...
Y por eso andamos todavía en el desmadre, y por eso nuestras familias crecimos como...
Mm-hmm. my dad se murió haciendo lo que él quiso. Él siempre era joven, y guapo, y he didn't give a fuck.
Y bellaco.
Yeah, I think, but, no, sí. That's what he, lo que me heredó.
Yeah.
El vicio.
And that's what we're talking about today.
Exactly. Especially in the Hispanic community. And it's not a bad thing. They don't see it as a bad thing. They see it que, no me le gusta tomar. Le gusta beber. Mm-hmm. And they just dismiss it. But they never get to the bottom of it. ¿Por qué te gusta tomar? Mm-hmm. What drives you to drink so much? Mm. What's going on in your life that you can't stop?
Yeah.
And so I had my own period of time where I couldn't stop drinking. If I started drinking, it was because I was in a blackout. It wasn't the fact that I like to drink, because no one likes to wake up hungover. No one likes to wake up feeling like shit every morning.
Caca.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Throwing up, hating life. You don't like that, yet something is driving you to do it. It starts with an underlying issue, and then it turns into addiction. I think that's what it is. And unless you figure out, for example, for me, it was coming out in a young age, depression, dealing with my dad as an alcoholic, and seeing it every day.
Yeah.
And never talking about it, because who are you going to tell? You know, therapy was not something, it's still not something a lot of Hispanics believe in.
Mm. So that part.
You just keep pushing it.
Bottle it down.
Yeah.
For real.
Yeah.
With a bottle. Like,
until you're old enough, when you're a kid, you just hold it in until you're old enough to drink, and then you drink, and then that's when you're like, oh, finally, release.
Mm-hmm.
Y pues por eso te encanta. Nos encanta.
Yeah, it's so normalized. It's so normalized in our families to, like, what? Every party you go to, ahí están las botellas, las cervezas.
¿Y cuál va a haber? ¿Y de qué vas a traer? ¿Y qué va a tener? Si no voy. Like, that's the goal of the party. It's not even about celebrating you.
Yeah, what is it?
My baby shower. I had an open bar at my baby shower.
TFTI.
Pero no te conocía, but honestly, I kind of was like, why? I'm not even drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
but it's for other.
But yes, I love my family, had a great time. Everyone had a great time. Even my partner at the time was trashed.
Oh, ended up.
Mm-hmm. No help. No.
How did that make you feel, though, to see that, like, at your...
At my baby shower. Yeah. Oh, It's funny because at the time, I just was too busy making sure that everything went okay.
Like everyone was happy.
¿Dónde está? Yeah, making sure que falta este juego, falta el otro juego. Luego, ¿qué está esto? Luego, ¿qué está acá? En Vanessa está, this, va a llover. Like, so much stuff. Like, she's like, oh, the couches need to be clean. I'm like, well, then clean them. She's like, I don't know how to do it. You know, and I didn't even have time to feel anything. Just more like, go, 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 go. And now that I think back on it, I was like, what the fuck was I doing? Like, why did I let you get away with so much shit and make it seem like I was the problem? Like, oh, you're, and that's literally at my baby shower. I was asking her to help me put some stuff. Antes de que llegue la gente. I'm like, I have to get ready. And she's like, oh, I'm getting ready too. And I was like, I know, but I have to get ready. Like, you've been lalagagging all day kind of thing. Yeah. And then she's like, oh, you're no fun. Can't wait till my friends get here.
What the?
I was like,
bandera roja.
that we ignore and just like, I was like, you know, and I honestly thought she was right. I'm like, you're probably right. I'm probably no fun. I probably suck. Like, I'm annoying. I'm pregnant. I can't do what you want me to do. And so I almost felt like she was right about it. Like,
whatever. Was she already, like, had some couple of drinks in her?
No.
Or
no, that was her sober.
I know.
That was her sober before she actually drank. And then when she drank, she was better at it. She was actually, she was never a bad drunk. It's in Malacopa, I guess. She was never Malacopa. She's always like a great time, like the life of the party type of thing. But she got happier when she drank type of thing. So
let's talk about that. How like alcohol, you know, like when you mentioned Latinos don't really believe in mental health and therapy, alcohol kind of like hides that too. Because you're happy and joyful and like, right?
Like, yeah, everything's great. Or the opposite can happen. Like, I went through a period of time where I would drink and I would be very aggressive. Más que, más de lo normal. Yeah. I would get very, very aggressive, very, because I had so much anger that I had to deal with growing up with an alcoholic father. And then in 2012, there was an incident where someone spiked my drink. They left me in a hotel room. I woke up with nothing, no shoes, nothing. And I never really opened up, never told anyone. I didn't have time to go to therapy. I was still working. I never to process it. That when I would drink, I would get so angry, you know, and that was my therapy. That was me letting it out. That was me finally raging against everyone, especially men. And not until I went back and I was like, okay, you gotta stop, you need to go to therapy. And so I'm a lot nicer now. I'm a lot nicer, especially when I drink. I still get a little feisty. And it's something that I continue to work on, because I mean, nobody wants an angry person. Nobody wants to hang out with someone who's mean. But in real life, I'm the nicest, rudest person. But when I'm drunk, empiezo a decir todas las palabras. You're like, every time, like, I want you to say like bad words, and I was like, let me get drunk and I will.
How was it, like you mentioned, growing up with an alcoholic dad? Like, how was it?
So when he was, so my dad had this habit. He said he was never an alcoholic because he can control it. So he would drink for 6 months out of the year, and then he was sober for 6 months out of the year. So 6 months out of the year, I had like the greatest dad. Me hacía desayuno, me levantaba, me llamaba a la escuela. The coolest guy ever. With my mom, the best husband, my mom. They would always hold hands. They were always like kissing, playfighting. Super cariñoso. But then he would drink, and it was the worst 6 months. Like, era completamente diferente persona. Un coraje que tenía yo, yo creo que desde niño, que he finally would let it out. And he would let it out towards us, not his friends or anybody.
Yeah. It's so interesting how, like, majority of the times, like, our loved ones take it out on, like, when they're drinking, they take it out on the people that they love and not, like, their friends, you know?
The immediate family, yeah. No one would ever believe us. Like, my cousins and other people, like, no, Vanessa, tu papá, no. Like, your dad is so nice. Your dad is so...
Creo, yo lo conozco.
Yeah, he's like, no. Like, I had one of my cousins that she would be like, no, like, you guys would tell me. And then she never believed us until she actually saw it. That one was already really bad, that he wasn't even stopping anymore, because he would stop periodically. And then finally, towards the end, he just kept drinking and never stopped. that she saw that side of him.
Yeah.
And she's so disappointed, so devastated. She felt like her father figure broke her heart. Porque tampoco no lo veía de esa manera.
Yeah.
And for me, it was like, by that time, I was just like, that's my dad. It's just,
yeah, like that's normal for me.
Yes, because when you were little, you learn how to deal with an alcoholic father or mother. You start to notice things and see how they show up. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if he was going to knock on the door or break the door down that day. Mm-hmm. And it all depended on the way he knocked, the way he... Yes. Si tocaba de una manera, you're like, oh, he's drunk. Mm-hmm. O si tocaba de otra, or even if he whistled. You could hear it in his whistle. My dad had a whistle, and antes de que entrara a la puerta, he would whistle from the driveway. Mm-hmm. And I knew that the whistle was like, okay, viene pedo o viene bien. And it was especially on every Friday. Every Friday, I was like, fuck, it's Friday.
Yeah. Because
you knew that was most of the time as payday.
Yeah, he's salad.
Mm-hmm. Some put us beers. They hang out for a little bit there by Medellin Construction. Okay. They would hang out there. If it was 5 and he was home, he was good because he didn't stay after.
También en construction, ¿verdad? Like, muchos, like, mm-hmm. that's very just like, oh, vamos por una chela.
Yeah, so, right after. Yeah. Or during lunch. Oh, ya son las cuatro. Oh, it's fine. We can start now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or he had a hielera, and then he had a hielera full of beer. He had some Gatorades, water, and full of beer.
Yeah.
And that's how he worked. As time went on, he just didn't have any water anymore. It was mm-hmm. just beer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he fell once, and... My dad was terco. Mm-hmm. Like the point where, yes, he fell. He got up.
You see, yeah.
And he came home. Uh-huh. The next, sobered up, went back to work the next day, and then he fell. Mm-hmm. So that it wouldn't be like alcohol was in the system.
Oh.
He didn't say anything. Yeah. He broke his leg.
Damn. And that wasn't like a wake-up call for him? Yep. Like, it was just like, oh, man.
For the 6 months that he didn't work, he needed us to take care of him. He didn't drink for the 6 months, but as soon as his day was fine, went back to drinking.
So, yeah.
And now, I think by now, it was more like the painkillers and mm-hmm. the drinking and this and, yeah.
When you mentioned, like, you became angry when you would drink, do you think it stemmed from the anger you had
towards him?
Seeing your dad?
Yeah, I used to have... crazy nightmares, like mm-hmm. really bad nightmares, where I was always killing my dad.
I see. Intenso. You're like, ataca, ataca.
There was always like a scenario where I was either running him over, paying him, like very, very bad. Like until, like I said, I had to go to therapy and talk about it and forget, like genuinely forgive him, because now that I think about my dad, I don't think of him as he did anything wrong. He did what he could with what he had. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in my mind now, I forgive him. Like, oh, you know, pobrecito. Like, he grew up in the street. He grew up in Mexico. His mom died when he was 2. His stepmom, lo corrió de la casa cuando tenía como 4 años. Nomás no lo quería. Mm-hmm. Él y su hermano se fueron a vivir con su tía. And they were like los arrimados. And so he would tell me that he didn't get any milk or he didn't get any food and he had to go work. Empezaba a violaba.
Volaba? Volaba.
I swear I'm Mexican.
No sabo.
No violar. That was worse. Volar zapatos.
Sí, yeah, like los limpiaba. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Dice que tenía su little cajita. Oh, and he would go around and volar.
Oh my God. We're going to learn the word.
That word.
Volar.
No, that's flying. No, well, I'm like,
oh, yeah. Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Sí, no, era... Oh, my God.
That word.
That word.
Limpiaba
los zapatos.
Los zapatos, the boots mm-hmm. with the wax.
Just shining it. Yeah, he would do that.
Yeah.
So every time I go to Mexico and I see someone doing it, I always go like... Can you? Yeah. No, 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 it's good. Like, I want my pants. Like, yeah. Can't really clean this. Come on. No, but, yeah. Him growing up in the street like that and growing up rechazado por tanto tiempo. Now he comes here, has money. Not a lot of money, but hacía buen dinero. It's construction. Back in the day, everybody said, tú eres hija de Beto. Beto todo lo paga. Your dad has money and stuff like that. And we would go to Mexico every year. And it was like, oh, son says on the norte. So it was like my dad was like this huge, amazing thing for people. Yet he didn't understand his own anger, his depression, his because he's thinning. I think he did have like some sort of depression issues. And then as time went on, the more he fucked up, the harder it was for him. Mm-hmm. Like from being in Roberto Ruiz, strong, handsome, making all the money, everyone looking up to him.
Because he was the life of the party.
The life of the party. Él le dio trabajar a todos mis primos. Todos vinieron le pedían, oh, how do you do it? Advice. To ending up, perdió todo. Perdió la familia, luego perdió la casa, luego lo deportaron. And then in Mexico, fue cuando se murió. Y allá andaba, and like, he ended up homeless for a period of time. My little sister would have to go look for him just to see him because she was in high school. That was horrifying. That made me more angry towards my dad because look what you're making my sister do. But at that point, he was like, but never got help. You know, never got help.
Yeah.
And me seeing it and knowing that I went through my own period of time where I was putting my family through that, I'm like, you hated your dad so much, yet you're doing the same thing. Yeah. I was putting them through the same thing, so I needed to check myself kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been to two psychiatric holds. The first one was for cutting. The second one was for alcohol. That was it. I was like, never again.
Yeah, that was like your, what is it, the pivotal moment that had to happen.
Yeah, like my breaking point was cuando, my same little sister, the same little one, she found me cutting.
Mm-hmm.
And the look in her, the look in her face, I still, like, I see, I close my eyes and I can see it. Like,
yeah.
She walks in and she sees it and she just starts bawling. No, ni me puede ver, se sale del cuarto. And I was like, okay, that's it, never again.
That's tough. Like, I personally, I'm like, I can't relate to growing up in a household where there's substance abuse. But in my family, there, it's like a, you see it, but it's like, te quedas callada.
See,
like growing up, I would see my dad have a couple beers here and there, but nothing to the point where he would be uncontrollable. And then my mom would never drink or nothing. Like, estaba ahí. And she would be the one to be like,
yeah,
ya no más.
Oh.
And so.
But he would listen.
Yeah. And he would just be like, oh, okay, like, and my dad's always been super family oriented, like, always has, like, came to the States, started working when he was 15, and then he just built a life here, and then he met my mom, la trajo, just a whole. So it was the question that my mom asked my siblings, and I was like, ¿De dónde agarraron lo alcohólico? Like, ¿De dónde lo agarraron? Because, like, it's just very normalized, right? And I went to college. I still stayed in California, but I went up north. It was just like, oh, this is my first time by myself. Like, let me fucking get to it, you know? And like college, you know, like college life. So it was just very like, oh, this is the thing to do. Like, so
the social norm.
Yes.
Like, you're expected to go to college and learn how to drink and party it up. And
Then I started drinking, and then like just, it became a routine, like every weekend going out. When I hit 21, I'm like,
now I'm allowed to. Hey, finally allowed to do it.
I'm legal to drink. And yeah, it just became like a thing. And then I was also going through a lot of mental health stuff, and I was just like, like it's nothing. And then the pressure of being the first one to go out to college and just being a Latina woman in general. Growing up, we would see it in parties and our tios, like for everything. Caramba, the bottle, and so it just became kind of like, oh, you know, that's cool. That's the thing to do. So it just became a thing in college. And it got to the point where I was like, do you really want this? Because I feel like that's not talked about enough, how like the different effects that alcohol does to a man versus a woman, you know? Like, it's different.
What do you mean by that?
Like, I feel like men are kind of like, well, right, we all have different organs and their systems are different. So when it comes to the consumption of alcohol, like, we're different in that way. Mm-hmm. Like,
they can technically drink more.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like,
because I drink a lot of men.
Yeah.
And you're like,
boom.
I'm like, wait, hold on.
Porque the way that it, like, so when we consume alcohol, mm-hmm. I was reading this article. It's a doctor that was talking about, like, the breakdown of alcohol in our system. Yes. Okay. So for men, it's faster, and for women, it takes longer.
Oh, okay.
So it affects us a little bit more than it does to men because of our
structure.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So we get faster. Like,
yeah.
Kind of that.
Yeah.
There's exceptions, okay?
Yeah.
Have you met any of my sisters?
You're like, me.
No, yeah. And, but that's jokingly, yes. It's funny because we had a quinceañera this last weekend. Mm-hmm. And all my cousins are there. You know, mm-hmm. we all grew up with them, and we all grew up drinking. And it's one of my cousins, the one I grew up with, his daughter's quinceañera. Mm-hmm. And so we were trying to get the quinceañera to drink. Mm-hmm. She wouldn't drink. She was like, no, no, no. We're trying to get her to take one shot. Even her even her dad was like, just one shot. And she, no, I'm good. But her other cousin, we had a quinceañera a month prior to that. It had the brother, their brothers, their daughters. Same thing. I think it took them all day for her to take one shot. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you see what? I was trash before the bus. My dad gave me my own bottle when I got into the limo, you know, for me and my friends. My sister quinceañera, she was drunk before the bus. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just a whole different generation. And granted that this one's probably better off than we are. Mm-hmm. At the quinceañera, we were talking, and some guy was drinking a Coors Light. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was funny because he was like, oh, yeah, these are the best. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, I don't like them. He's like, you ever tried them? And I was like, yes. I'm like, my dad, that's all he would drink. Oh, Coors Light. Coors Light. He wouldn't touch anything else in Coors Light. And my guy's like, yeah, I like them because they're, you know, I can last longer. Mm-hmm. And then we're like, yeah, we don't like to, and I don't like to drink water. Mm-hmm. And he was just like, what? I was like, I don't like to drink water. To me, that's water. Granted, I wasn't drunk at night. I didn't get drunk. Even when I do drink, I don't drink to get drunk. I've never been that person to, I'm going to drink to get your face. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't go to college. I drink because I like the taste of tequila. Mm-hmm. You know, I can sip on tequila for hours.
That was your poison.
Tequila.
Yeah.
That went from tequila to vodka to whiskey. Mm-hmm. Then I got pregnant with my baby, and it went, everything that I learned about drinking went out the window. I couldn't, I could not, I still can't drink vodka like that. I still can't drink whiskey like I used to. Mm-hmm. Now it's back to just tequila and beer. It's like I'm starting over.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. Yeah. It's a good thing. I'm a mom. I shouldn't be pounding whiskey like every other day. But yeah, but now it's tequila. I've always been really picky about my tequila. Mm-hmm. Like if I can smell it and tell you, oh yeah, this is not the right tequila.
Te voy a traer un Trujillo.
Trujillo?
Have you tried it?
No.
It's so smooth. It's so smooth.
Okay. Yeah. Right now I'm into Fortaleza.
Oh, I don't think I've tried that one.
It's like kitchen.
I think I was being too hard on myself when I stopped really drinking. Mm-hmm. And like, I remember I talked to my therapist and I was like, yeah, I was an alcoholic. And she's like, pause. Like, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, yeah, like I used to drink every weekend and go out and do all these crazy things. And then she was like, well, like you stopped, so you never
relapsed.
Yeah, or like, you know,
you were never really an alcoholic.
Yeah. And she was like, did you use it in a unhealthy way? Yes, like 100%, but you were never an alcoholic.
You were not codependent on it.
So I'm like, oh, okay. And then, because I put a hard break. I was like, you can't drink, you're a shitty ass person if you drink. I would tell myself that. Yeah. But now I'm just like, oh, like, maybe in the future I do want to stop drinking completely, but right now I just have it like here and there. If I want a cutesy little thing, a little cutesy drink.
Well, you're at dinner, for sure. And like I said, alcohol itself is not bad. I mean, Jesus made wine, you know? Exactly. the alcohol is not the problem. It's the way that society made it okay for people to drink so much. Mm. Or how society promotes it, like, oh, if you're not drinking, then you're lame or you're boring.
The social
pressure of it. And on top of it, you add that to a Hispanic culture that doesn't believe in therapy, the whole mix together is a horrible mixture.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily the alcohol, it's the way that you use it. And especially, I think, I tell my sister all the time, like, después de like a night of going out or getting drunk, and I would wake up feeling so guilty. Like, I did something so wrong. Like, yeah. I was the worst person in the world. And alcohol makes your anxiety even worse, but the guilt trip that you give yourself is even worse. Mm-hmm. And so it goes back to, why do you feel that?
Yeah.
What about you do you feel that it's not good enough? Mm-hmm. And that's where I needed to go to therapy and find out, like, why? Why do I hate myself so much for doing something that my, for example, my ex, she would drink, have a good time, wake up, it was like nothing. So happy that we had a great time. We went out. We had friends. We had a good dinner. It was a good thing that we did it. And I was like, you don't feel guilty that we got drunk? She's like, no, we didn't do anything wrong. We didn't kill anyone. We didn't hurt anyone. We didn't break anything. Like, why do you feel guilty? Mm-hmm. And it was a sense of, I did not feel good enough. Like, I didn't deserve that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you didn't deserve to have a good time?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and that's why I needed to go to therapy, so I could be like, wait, I do deserve it. I work hard, you know?
Yeah.
He works 5-6 days a week. You go out with your friends. You have a couple of drinks. What is wrong with you being a little tipsy or drunk? Mm-hmm. You didn't drive home. You know, if you drove home, okay, maybe you should feel a little guilty. You shouldn't do that. But it's like you hurt anyone. Mm-hmm. It was more of like, that's what I learned with therapy. That my therapist is like, you are making yourself feel guilty because someone along the way told you that was wrong. Mm. That's not something you should do.
Yeah, for me, a lot of it, was stemming from, seeing the effects that alcohol have done onto someone. I think that's why, when it comes to alcohol, especially after my grandpa passed away, I saw what alcohol did to him and how it affected his health so much. You could die of, something that...
The pica un mosco.
Yeah, that one. But if you're drinking constantly, it's going to affect you in some way. Mm-hmm. So I feel like when it came to seeing after my grandpa's death, that completely was like, I'm in a moment of like... And then my mom too, she would be like, yeah, no. Because she saw that. She grew up with a...
alcoholic father.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when she would see us drink, she would be in tears. Mm-hmm. Like... I don't want this to happen to you. My grandpa didn't die of alcoholism, but it led to health issues.
Correct, yeah.
So for me, that was like, okay, I need to really be conscious of why you're drinking, if you're doing it to forget something, kind of of what you're saying. Like, you came to the realization that it was something.
I hated myself, yeah. I needed to go figure out all these other... I had so many emotions that I didn't know what to do with. The easiest way was just to drink.
To put a bandage over it.
To put a big alcohol bandage on it. And not until I was like, that's it, I'm done. I'm done hurting people. I'm done hurting myself. Like the DUI, all these other things that come with it that just are just a waste of my life, a waste of my knowledge, a waste. Granted, do I think I'm ever going to stop drinking? I don't know. I don't know because I don't feel like it's an issue anymore. Mm. I don't feel guilty if I do have a drink.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm in a place where now I know how to drink.
Mm-hmm. You're conscious of it.
Yes, and I'm not doing it because I'm avoiding an issue. I'm doing it because I'm at dinner. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it because I'm having wine with a friend. I'm doing it because it's, Tuesday and my son just left and I had a long week. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, okay, I get to relax for not relax, but in a sense of I'm at home with a glass of wine. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference between how I drink now versus how I used to drink to avoid the underlying issue.
Mm.
So now I don't feel guilty. And I'm more accepting of myself. Like for my birthday, normally I would have been trashed.
Mm-hmm.
I was I had a little head change by midnight, but the festivities were done. We were all done. We drove
Mimi's Club.
Yeah. The age was shown. And the next day I didn't get drunk all week. The day before, we had a little too much to drink, but I wasn't like other years. When I turned 30, we had a beautiful party, open bar. I think I woke up asking, the party's over? Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, girl, you blacked out. Mm-hmm. I was like, did I at least make it to the candles?
They're like, bye.
Like the cake or the candles or something? But it was okay. Everyone's okay with it because it's my birthday and I'm allowed to get drunk and do all these things. And it's like, why? Why is it okay? Ni siquiera disfruté mi cumpleaños. I don't remember. Yeah, I guess we had a DJ. We had lines.
I guess.
I do remember the mariachi. The mariachi, sí, me acuerdo de ese. But I don't remember half the people that came after. I was like, if you came, thank you, pero...
Yeah.
Tampoco con su mamá, ni tanto que quema el santo ni nada que no lo alumbre. You know, like in finding a good balance. So yeah. I don't think it's wrong. I think people villainize it so much that it makes you feel guilty about yourself. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't think it's good either. There's other ways for you to live and be happy.
Yeah. I think, like, for myself, I've, like, kind of, like, oh, we don't always have to. We could do something else.
Let's go out for coffee.
Let's do something different. Let's switch it up. And, like, of course, like, here and there, like, going out and having a couple of drinks, it's fine. But also surrounding yourself with people that understand that if you don't want to drink, then that's okay.
Yeah, you don't have to.
Yeah, like more of like, I remember when I stopped drinking, I would get a lot of, oh, what the fuck, like you're late, like why are you not drinking? And then I don't like saying lost friendship, well yeah, like you,
yeah,
like those people are no longer in my life because they weren't understanding that this is no longer something that I want to do.
Because they were drinking friends.
Yeah.
And now you're not drinking, so you're not going to have drinking friends if you're not drinking.
Yeah.
It's completely normal. It's okay. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen it with my sisters. I've seen it with my life. It is completely okay. And I don't think anyone shouldn't feel guilty with anything. See, I've learned to not pressure anyone to drink. Because my ex would pressure me to drink a lot, especially because I knew that I'm dealing with some stuff that you probably don't understand. Mm-hmm. And if I drink, one, I don't know if I'm going to be able to stop. Mm. Two, I don't know how I'm going to react today.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes if you are in a bad headspace and you start drinking, you're going to be angry.
It's going to come out.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're going to lash out and you're going to probably regret it. Mm-hmm. So I had to learn how to manage myself. Whether they understood or not, because of that peer pressure of like, oh, just have one with me, the relationship ended up going sideways. It's like, oh, well, you don't know how to drink. I'm like, well, I told you.
I don't want
to. This is why I told you I didn't want to. kind of thing. But at the end of the day, it is my fault because I'm the one who controlled my life, right? Mm-hmm. It would always go back to me. It was always my fault. I was the one to blame. I was the one to fuck things up. I was the one to, you know.
Instead of taking responsibility.
Making it out of proportion, all these things. And I was like, okay, well, just leave me alone. When I say I don't want to drink, I don't want to drink.
Yeah.
I don't want a shot, I don't want a shot. Like,
yeah.
And with some people, it's not just one drink. It's like, we're doing shots, and we're doing shots.
Yeah,
doing
I love shots. And I was like, damn. So
I was like, oh, okay, why do we got to black out every night?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So, but not just me. I think all growing up with an alcoholic father, all of my brothers and sisters have to deal with the same consequences. We have the same parents, but we didn't have
the same experience.
Yeah. I had a good side of my dad, and then I had a bad side of my dad. My brother, who is turning 18 this year, he had my dad for 1 year, and it was at the end, and it was just a bad dad. My brother, who is 27, had a dad that was okay for like a couple of years, and then a bad dad, like, or an absent dad. So he almost grew up fatherless type of thing. So, but my sister idolizes her father because all she remembers is the good. Never the, not bad. The bad. She also doesn't know how to stop drinking. So it's just like everybody's got dealing with it their own way.
Yeah.
And it's really hard because like I want to tell them like you're fucking up, but at the end of the day you can't because my, they have to figure it on their own.
Yeah, they have to come to that realization. Because I feel like it's more of, like, coming from a loved one, too. Like, for you to go up to your sibling and be like, hey, like, I'm concerned. They'll maybe get, like, defensive, too. And that's when you're, like, kind of leaves you also, like, I have to do something, you know? But then at the same time, if you push too hard, it might like
they'll backfire backfire. It was like, well, I don't want to talk to you, I don't want to hang out with you, I'm not going to tell you, I'm not.
Yeah,
it just completely pushed you away, and she's done that a couple of times already. That now it's like, okay, what other approach do we take,
what else can I do?
We're working on it. And then but my brother didn't like, he was going down the wrong path drinking too much. One day he got really really sick, woke up and said never again.
That was his moment.
He said there's three of us and then the two boys. He's like, my brother only has one brother, I can't leave him solo.
Yeah.
So that was his turning point. He's like, you, I don't care about you. I guess what he told me is like, if I died for drinking, you'd be fine.
But if
our younger brother, the only one that didn't have dad, I think she would have like, that'd be pretty fucked up. He's like, so that made me snap out of it. Mm-hmm. And I think he's been a year and a half sober now. I mean, he's also 27, so he's very young.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's like, no, and he's like, and I don't miss it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't miss it. He doesn't crave it. He's like, nothing.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's good. I crave it all the time.
Orita.
I literally was like, do you want wine? Do you want tequila? I was like, girl, relax.
I got a drag bag. I can't do it. And I'm a lightweight now. It's crazy. And like, you look back then and I'm like, yeah. But ahorita me echo un
yes.
I'm ready to
take a nap.
It's Mimi's time. Oh. Especially, I think you also learn to prioritize things differently. You're like, okay, I work tomorrow. Shouldn't be doing that.
Yep.
And now the effects are different.
Oh my God, yes. I have to make sure I have a day off, that the baby's not around, and that like I'm going to either have a sitter because being hungover with the baby is the worst.
Oh no,
because you have to keep your eyes open looking at them. You're like, oh, hold on, I'll be right back. And you'll throw up and you'll come back. And it's like, you're good. Mm-hmm. Oh no, you can't. No, I can't. Never. So now I always plan it. If ever, it's on a Wednesday. Because then on Thursday, I'm good to go. I'm off. My baby's not going to come until Friday. It has to be planned. It has to be scheduled now.
And for me, I don't know if this happens to you, like, just because of my mental health shit, like, yo ando, cuando tomo ando, like, a veces me pega el sentimiento más, and I'm just like, okay, no quiero, like, I don't want to feel like that. So I'm like, okay.
But does it happen to you while you're drinking or the next day?
Usually the next day, pero a veces cuando también, like, en el momento, o just say, like,
yeah, for sure, the next day, like I said, it's the guilt, it's the anxiety.
Oh, so bad.
And I literally have to talk to myself, like, you know, it's normal. You know, it was just, it's a hangover. It's going to pass. You didn't do anything wrong. Like, before, when I levantaba, me levantaba con, like, pánico, like, what did I do? Fuck, I fucked up. I'm so sorry. Trying to apologize to everybody. And I was like, why are you apologizing? I'm like, because of my guilt. Like, it's my anxiety. It's my mental health. It's my, all of that together. Like, it's just not worth it.
Have you seen that meme, whatever? It's like, oh, I don't know why people say that alcohol makes you sad. That shit makes my ass shake.
For that time.
And I'm like, yes, no,
no, for sure. At the time,
yeah, it's a moment.
And then the next day, it's where I'm all sad.
Yeah.
The thing that I, for a long time, I didn't understand how Hispanic community, my mom, for example, if you smoke weed, eres marihuano, te vas a morir, like, droga, adicto, sí, the worst, that that's the worst thing you can do. Yet, no one dies from smoking weed, right?
No.
But drinking alcohol, I was 12 years old, that was fine. I'm like, so it's the same. It's a drug. They're like, no, alcohol doesn't count. I was like, wait, how? It's a drug. No, alcohol doesn't count. Mm-hmm. And I still meet people like that. I'm like, well, my mom finally got away from that because she has arthritis. So they give her gummies para el dolor and to go to sleep. So, but that was only like maybe 5 years now that she's been like, okay, cool. Like, you know, weed is not Satan.
Yeah.
Pero antes sí, like, oh, like if fumé marihuana, it's like the worst. Yes,
but if pinche marihuana.
Pinche marihuana. And I was like, they don't do anything. Like, mom, they just some of them function even better.
Yeah.
I had a coworker, like, we literally would tell her, she would get all grumpy, they're like really irritated, and we would literally be like, go outside, smoke a blunt, come back. Mm-hmm. And then she would go on her break. We'd tell her, go on your break. And that when she knew to go smoke. And then she would come back, she'd be like, hi girls, oh my God, I feel much better now. Yeah. Okay. Best worker ever.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, she'd like to put in chingal. We get worked at Starbucks. Yeah. All the coffees, she would wash everything, set it up. Okay guys, I'm done. Anything else? Just because we let her go smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like, it's more of like alcohol is not seen as a substance because it's everywhere. It's more accessible than anything. Like, if you want weed, you have to go through this and this, right?
You gotta go find it. Gotta go know someone.
And then other substances, right? It's even more harder to get. So that's why it's seen as like, oh, alcohol is.
Have you ever tried
that? No.
Okay.
Tengo miedo.
Same thing. Have you ever tried ecstasy?
Have I tried ecstasy? Yeah.
Okay. So But isn't it like 10 times better than drinking?
Well, yeah, because it's, but también the come down, I feel, how was your come down?
Well, it depends which, well, hold on. Well, which type? no, honestly, if you go hard, the come down's gonna suck, regardless of what it is. But the first time that I ever did ecstasy, it was very, very, like half.
Yeah, like a little bit.
And honestly, it was the best experience of my life. I was so
for happy. That, it was the worst.
Yeah, for you?
It was so bad. And I'm like, oh, I'll try it and see. Mm-hmm. I tried it and never again. Oh. I would, because it was so bad. Like, I was
so
trippy.
In love.
Yeah.
Well, the first time I started with, like, a little bit of MDMA, just, like, the Molly, I was going to call it, was in Vegas. And I was like, sure. So I married myself. I married myself. I was so in love. They were doing like this thing where like, do you want to get married to yourself? And I was like, yes, of course I do.
So are you legally married
to myself? Well, I don't know if it was real or not. I think it was like a theater performance or something. That is but in Vegas, I married myself. And I gave vows to myself. And it was like
the most beautiful. The vows? Yes.
No.
I'm like, please repeat them right now.
I think it was more like, I forgive you for everything.
Oh, it was
like, it was so, yeah, it was like, you're so perfect. I can't believe you don't know. Like, it was me telling myself, like, how do you not know how amazing you are?
Like, words of affirmation.
Yeah, like, how, like, don't you ever not remember this? Like,
you're about to rap. You were gonna go.
And I did. I was like, I forgive you, I love you, and I promise to take care of too much, take some more, more better care.
I forgave you, I promise I'll never say it in a good way.
We'll never do this again.
I'll never turn your back on yourself.
I think, for sure. And then I'm thinking, because my ex is that when I have taken ecstasy, and she's like, you're like rapping all the time. And I was like, really? She's like, yeah, you're like a way better rapper. But that was the first time. And then we went to the strip club after, because, you know, I really like strip clubs. From there, we went to the strip club because we spent all day at the strip just doing all these things. We went to the strip club. At the strip club, I was like, everyone was so beautiful. Mm-hmm. I was telling all the girls, you're so pretty. I didn't drink. I think I probably had like one drink of alcohol the entire night because of just drinking water and just like so happy. Like, there was, like the Gru when he's like, because I'm so happy. Yeah. Like, the one thing he's, like, walking. No le puedo pasar nada malo. Se cae el mundo, and you're just like.
You're like.
Yeah, I woke up fine. Woke up amazing. Did no hangover or nothing. And I was like, how is this bad? Mm. I was like, how is this bad? And they're like, oh, if you do it too much, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. You know, serotonin levels and stuff like that. Not only that, people with complete disclosure, people that have mental health issues and are taking medication, you have to be extra, extra careful because you never know how it's going to affect you.
Yeah.
It could really make you go sideways.
Yeah.
So, but thank God.
And then being around trusted people too. If you are going to do that, please always be careful.
Yes. 100%. Because
be around trusted people.
Now, this was like 10 years ago where fentanyl was not really an issue or not people were lacing or changing things. Like, so nowadays, I probably wouldn't take anything anymore just because you don't know how it's made, especially with fentanyl being everywhere. I had a lot of friends who were like, oh, it was from someone I knew and someone I knew, and they end up passing away just out of nowhere because of the fentanyl, because it's laced. It's not that they did too much, it was what they put into it or they don't test it. So that is pretty scary nowadays.
Yeah, because you never know.
But this was, like I said, this was like 10 years ago. And so after that, I changed my antes. I broke up with one of my exes because she smoked weed. Because my mom said smoking weed was the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh no, she smokes weed. And I broke up with her. Nowadays, I just laugh at it because I'm like naive of myself to think that was like the worst thing ever. Yeah, I was over there getting drunk and passing out at clubs. Like, eso no se me hacía mal.
Yeah,
because that was okay. Yeah. That was funny. That was the funny part. And I was just like, how twisted the mentality is.
Yeah.
Where nobody dies from smoking weed. Yet there's like
14,000 deaths or something like that. Well, from alcoholism a year, plus the accidents, plus everything else that comes with it, like the DUIs, the court, going to jail, domestic violence, many.
And that's kind of like also very like hush-hush. I work in a domestic violence organization, so I hear this a lot, just like alcohol. And a lot of times I hear from my clients that they're like, oh, la que estaba tomando, por eso estaba así. And so we kind of had to sit down and talk with them and provide a lot of education, because we always say our clients have to be the ones to make the decision on their own and to learn. Education is very important when it comes to talking about these topics. And so when they're talking, oh, sí, es que nomás es el alcohol. But I'm like, nomás. It exacerbates it. Like, la persona ya es así. Just because the alcohol exacerbated and it made it come out. It's a hard realization to come to that point. That person has always been like that, but alcohol exacerbated that. Mm-hmm. It made it more, well, come out the violence. Mm-hmm. And it, like, it didn't make them like that. Like, unfortunately.
That's how they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, the way my therapist put it, you've always had these issues, like me, myself, growing up. I've always, I would, like, bury a lot of things, right? Mm-hmm. And I would bury them, and I'd put a wall around them because I wasn't allowed to. As a kid, you're not allowed to do a lot, speak up or say things, or you can't, there's not much you can do. So what you do is learn to bury them and put a wall around them. When you're drinking, the wall comes down. Mm-hmm. So all that anger that you have inside you is now free to run around loose.
And you just made me think about something, like, how we're taught, like, women and men, like, oh, women, like, it's okay, but men, like, quédate callado, no llores, and, like, emotions come out when they're drinking, right? Mm-hmm. Because the only... But the only reaction or emotion that they were taught was okay was anger. So... when substances come into the mix, it's like, oh, okay, it's fine. You know, like, I could show my emotions. But I'm like, you can't. Like, you could show your emotions every day, but it was just, like, very normalized, right? As a man, the only emotion that you can show is anger.
Anger.
And or the other one.
Or assertiveness. Assertiveness. Mm-hmm. Either you're confident or angry. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's like, you know, you're human. You're going to feel everything that women feel, you feel.
Yeah.
You just died. You've never taught how to express it. Mm-hmm. Or that it's okay to do it.
And it comes out when you're drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I want to see this side every day of you, you know, kind of like, oh, if you have a certain type of feeling or emotion, show it. Mm-hmm. It's a healthy.
Or more romanticos.
Yeah.
Touchy and things like that. I was like, why don't you do that?
Yeah.
Some people say, oh, it's because of the healthy dance.
Mm.
I was like, you can do that without it. But
they and just that's don't like them. The mental health portion that's not talked about. Like, okay, why do you need a cup of drinks for you to get
so comfortable? Let yourself be yourself. Because when growing up, someone told you you couldn't. Mm-hmm. Someone told you you're not supposed to. Someone said, oh, you know, guys don't dance like this or do that. Or men don't act this way. And thank God that now there's more fluidness.
Yeah.
And even the way I raised my son, he's only two, but I understand that it's okay. Te dio miedo. It's normal. Si le digo, you're fine. I'm teaching him to ignore his fear. And so sometimes I do catch myself like, oh, come, like, let it happen. You're fine. And then I'm like, oh, wait, no. He did get scared. It's okay. It's normal to get scared, but I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, te asustaste? Okay, no te preocupes. Está bien.
Yeah.
Aquí está mamá. So that way he can process, oh, that was scary, but I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
Versus that fear, ignore it.
Yeah.
Ignore it. There's nothing. Mm-hmm. And so I catch myself sometimes even telling him, no, or ya cállate, like, you know, like, you get a little frustrated, and I'm like, okay, Vanessa, no, he's a baby, he's learning these emotions, and don't dismiss him. But
oh, that makes me so happy that you're teaching him. That's beautiful. Instead of like, oh, no, llores. No, no, like, los hombres no lloran.
Oh no. Yeah. Boys do cry. Eh? Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen that movie, Boys Don't Cry?
It's
an old movie. It's pretty. It's actually a very popular actress. I forgot her. Mm-hmm. I don't remember names, but it's about a girl who is she's a lesbian, and mm-hmm. so she would dress as a man. Mm-hmm. And then she falls in love with this girl, and this is back in like the 70s. Mm-hmm. And so they find out, and they like torture her. It's pretty sad. Mm. But they're like, "Come on, boys, don't cry. You're a boy, right?"
Mm.
Oh, mm. Yeah. It's really dramatic. Yeah, I have to check it's really out. Traumatic.
There's also this movie called The Mask We Live In. It's about like toxic masculinity mm-hmm. and just like how boys were raised and just how important it is to teach emotions. Because it's a human, yeah. Like, I heard one of my coworkers say this and it has always stuck with me, how everything has a filter, right? Like computers, cars, but humans don't. Mm. So it's okay to show emotion. It's okay to process our emotions.
To be raw.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Mm. Oh, I like that.
Because we don't have a filter.
No, we shouldn't. Especially us, eh?
Yeah, I'm like, aquí estamos. And we're learning day by day. Like, if you want to drink, right? Like, that's your choice. And if you don't, then that's your choice.
Yeah, don't let anyone ever guilt you into doing either one.
Yeah.
I don't think it's fair either way. Mm-hmm. And a real friend would respect it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, actually, today my friend hit his 30 days sober. Not because, oh, not yeah. Nice. He just yeah. the beginning of the year he's like, you know what, I don't want to drink. Mm-hmm. And we were like, really? He's like, yeah, no. Well, he's doing 75 hard, so it's part of the not drinking. Mm-hmm. But he started not drinking first, mm-hmm. and then he started doing 75 hard. Mm-hmm. I don't know what day he's on right now, but mm-hmm. we were like, so when do you want to drink? And he's like, I don't know mm-hmm. until I feel like it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not going to pressure you. In the beginning, I did catch myself. I was like, do you want something to drink? Do you want something to drink? Because that's like, it's como like yeah. habit, especially if I'm like, oh, I'm drinking wine. Want to try it? I'm like, oh, this one's really good. And
you know, yeah.
Sorry, I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. Cannot try it.
Yeah.
So what I did, because we were watching the football game, shout out to the Patriots. I'm not a Patriots fan, but he is. I know what I wanted to see, las Chivas contra la América. I heard that that's like the best one.
Yeah.
So I don't know about soccer. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, el clásico. Well, the Super Bowl is next Sunday.
Yeah.
And it's the Patriots.
I'm so happy I didn't fall on Valentine's
Day. Oh, no, it's always before, no?
Yeah.
Oh, it was supposed to be on Valentine's Day.
I think, was there a year it fell on Valentine's Day?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
Or my brother was like, it's always the first week of February.
It's this, yeah, something like that.
So the Patriots and who else?
The Eagles.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So Cardi B versus, I don't know, the Eagles. Cardi B versus the Eagles. That's what I said.
It's Benito Ball.
Yes. We all know it's a concert with a game in between.
Yeah. It's just there.
Yeah. But we're going to have a little Benito party.
Cute.
A Benito party. Hence the shirt. But, hey, I forgot what I was saying.
Your friend.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, he decided to just not drink. Mm-hmm. So I'm proud of him. We were watching the game, and the Patriots were winning. And so I was like, you know what? Let me make you a mocktail.
Love
that way.
Good mocktail.
And here I have like toronjas, naranjas.
I know the
limones. So I went. I climbed the tree. Dude, let's do. Ahorita que terminemos. I climbed the tree. I got naranjas, toronjas. I made because I like to make them. I like tequila in those.
Oh, okay.
But I made him with con agua mineral, and he was like, "Oh my god, this is so good! It feels like I'm drinking." And I was like, "See, like I don't." What, one, I'm not going to pressure you to drink. Two, I think a true friend is going to be like, this is what you're doing. I'm going to support you.
Yeah.
I'm going to support what you're doing. And same vice versa. You know, if your friendship is just drinking, then that's not a friendship. That's a habit that you guys share.
Ooh, that part. Have you heard that thing that's like, hang out with four people that work out, you'll be the fifth one.
Mm-hmm.
And then hang out with four people that are constantly drinking, you're going to be the fifth one.
Yep.
And it's so true, like, because we have our friends, and if they're not, like, being supportive, they're gonna be, like, bringing you with their habits.
Yeah, it's either you influence them or they influence you. Mm-hmm. And if you wouldn't change your life for theirs, what are you doing there? If you
writing it down.
if you don't aspire to be where they are,
person.
Not that it's good or bad. And I don't say it in a way where like you're better than them. No one's better than anybody. But it's about what your choices, what you want for your life, and does that align with what's going on around you?
Yeah. If where you want to get to.
Yeah. If it does, great. If it doesn't, it's okay. And I don't think there's anything bad with outgrowing friends.
Yeah.
It's part of growing up. And sometimes they're going to grow with you, and sometimes they're going to grow apart, and sometimes you can come back together later on, but you have to worry about your growth.
Yeah.
And your progress. My sister's has had this group of friends since high school. I've had just two friends since high school, and a lot of the times we don't see each other or hang out with each other, but because we have different goals. Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
And it's okay.
It doesn't have to be like a dramatic,
Or like, oh, you think you're better than us. Or like, no, I don't. But if that's what you think, well, thanks. Yeah. Thanks. Okay.
Yeah.
And not let it get to you. Because at the end of the day, when you go to bed by yourself, when you wake up, it's by yourself. Mm. No one's going to go to bed with your thoughts and your emotions and your regrets and things that that matter to you.
And your goals and where you want to get. Yeah. So that's important to be like, okay.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not saying like it's not that you're never gonna hang out again or you're never gonna see them. Of course, it's being cordial, being kind, but there's no need to like, you're better than me, I'm better than you, point fingers. None of that. I think it's the more you learn to love yourself for who you are, the faster you're gonna be able to grow. Because so many people say, oh, I wish I was better. I'm like, oh, I'm working on being better. I'm working on being better. I'm working on being better. And all you're saying in reality to the universe is I'm not good enough. Mm. I'm not good enough because I have to be better.
Yeah. And I feel like with me, when I like realized that alcohol was doing me more damage, like me personally, like just towards my mental health, because I already have like mental health and it was like affecting me. So I feel like I got to a point where I love myself so much that I don't want to do this as harshly perfect that I did, right? Perfect. So it got to that point where I'm like, damn, girl, like, it's okay to just like take it day by day and not want to do this anymore. And also just like being with people that are supportive of that growth and that are going to push you to become the best version of yourself. Mm-hmm. Because if a friend is pushing you to do more harm, like if I tell you, oh, I have work the next day and me sigues, you know, like,
hey, que te valga.
Yeah.
Like, are you really my friend?
And like you said, like you waking up by yourself, like the choices that you're making, they're only gonna affect you and your loved ones, right? Mm-hmm. Like the people you surround yourself with and your family. So I think also realizing it's not affecting only me, but also the people that I love.
I think you said it perfectly when you're like, I love myself so much. Mm-hmm. That you chose to stop. You didn't choose to be better. You already are perfect. Mm-hmm. You just have to love yourself that way. Mm-hmm. And when you love yourself, you don't hurt yourself. Mm-hmm. When you love yourself, you know, you start to take care of yourself. You go to the gym. You get dressed up. I'm not saying you have to do your makeup every day, but like, te peinas. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like everyone
te bañas.
You put a little bit of perfume and you go out in the world because you're like, this is how I take care of me. Mm-hmm. And the better you take care of you, the better the world's gonna take care of you.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's all energy, it's all attraction. Mm-hmm. And the way you show up in the world, that's how the world's gonna show up for you. Mm-hmm. So that's
beautiful.
The beauty. Oh, thank you.
This conversation was so good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
Before you go, I always have this question. What makes you a unicorn?
What makes me a unicorn?
Mírame.
I genuinely show up for people. I'm very like giving. I love to like give, just like listening to like understand and to give advice. I love to help and like to give, just like when I talk about giving, it's not like giving material things, it's more of like giving you my time. Time is so precious. I took for a year or 2 years like off of Instagram, like my personal page, and I've learned to really connect with people in person. Like, I just feel like social media has been so accessible. I'm like, oh, es que te veo en el Instagram.
You know? No tengo que llamarte.
Yeah, or no quiero que ir por un café. So I feel like time is the best thing you can give to others. And I show up in a very intentional way when I do. That's what makes me.
Ay, qué
bonito. Ah, el palota.
No, I love that. I love it. Your energy. Your energy makes you a unicorn. I love it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for making the time to make the drive. I'm going to drive all the way to LA
and do one for Nopo as well.
Yeah, so looking forward to that. Thank We're going to be like,
Nopo's wa. I actually love that phrase.
Yeah.
There's another podcast that I love. It's called It's Giving.
Check it.
It's Sarah Fontaine is the host. But I love that little quote. It's giving. It's giving. It's giving healing. It's giving positive energy. It's giving glow up. And she has a lot of topics that sometimes I'm like, yeah, I'm right there with you, girl. And sometimes I'm like, oh my God, no, we would fight. But I love that because it's not wrong or right. It's just she's very set in her way. Mm. And that's what makes her her.
I think it's beautiful to come together in conversation. Maybe we don't share the same opinions or right because we're all different, but we can have a peaceful conversation. It doesn't have to be
sure.
Like you're wrong.
One of the topics she talks about a lot is if your son was drowning and your husband was drowning, who would you save? And as a mom, my answer is right away, my son, duh. And her answer is always her husband. And she mentions that I chose my husband. God gave me my husband. We can have another child. In my mind, it's like, God gave me my son. I can have another husband. God can give me another husband or another partner. She's more biblically oriented, like the Bible says this.
Oh, okay.
And I'm more of like, I say this. So neither one, like I said, neither one is wrong.
I avientan los dos los floaties y ya.
The goal in life is to never have to make the decision. Pero, but my dad amaba, se murió amando a mi mamá. My mom had 3 miscarriages before me. And when I was being born, they had to ask my dad, who do you want us to save?
Oh, that would be so hard.
My dad chose my mom. My mom's like, ¿yo para qué voy a ser con una niña? ¿A mi hija, mi esposa? Save my wife. He would always tell me the story. Because I'd be like, Dad, don't you love me? He's like, yeah, but I love your mom more. Pero, pa, I love your mom more. She gave me you. She can give me another one of you. And so it's the same thing Sarah's saying, you know, which is, I don't think it's wrong. That's their belief. But who wouldn't want to be loved like that, you know? ¿Quién no quisiera someone that loves them so much unconditionally that say, no, I'm picking my wife or anything?
Yeah. Damn, I have to listen to her podcast.
So it's kind of like, it's all around. It's a dilemma that it's like interesting to talk about. But
yeah. But we are definitely going to another episode together.
Yes, for sure. In the meantime, everyone, thank you for staying to the end. Remember that unicorns do exist, and now you're listening to 2 of us.
Dos unicornios con el cuernote arriba.
Bye. Bye.